So, as many people have guessed, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is, of course, Shavuot. Now, the guys who are here already heard this already. So, we're trying to be different, but I can't promise I'll be different for a very simple reason. Because I don't remember what I said last year or the year before because I don't take notes. So, for all I know, I'll be saying the exact same thing. You'll let me know. Okay. Anyway, just not to spend time on what Shavuot is, because I'm assuming that too many people heard it already, but just to go quickly to say over in 5 minutes, Rabbi Shavuot already gave me 5 minutes. So 5 minutes, just what Shavuot is. There is an Or HaChaim in the Brachos in a few places who says as follows. It's in the Chumash, and it's actually quoted in the Shavuot is quoted in the Mishnah in the Shulchan Aruch. It's quoted in the Shaarei Teshuva, I believe, in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Simen after Chanukah, I think. I don't remember. Anyway, it basically says as follows, that for those people who know Kabbalah, that Adam Rishon, after he ate from the Chetz Adas, he went ahead and he was parish from his wife, I think, for 130 years. Is that right? Get that right. So during that was considered apparently a valid form of tshuva. She was the one, whatever the reason. And apparently, even though that was a valid and right thing for him to do, that caused a certain negative effect. Because if you're parish from your wife, so all them are reached, a certain involuntary carry is zera, comes out. And so it was, in a certain sense, it was considered zera v'atala because he didn't have to be parished from his wife. If he wouldn't have done the Aveira, he wouldn't have been parished from his wife. Right? We're not usually concerned about the carry that comes out by itself if there's no Aveira involved. But here, it was in a sense his fault. Because he did the Aveira, he had to be parished from his wife because he was parished from his wife. Therefore, the carry came out. So he was, in a certain sense, Adam Rishon was Maitzi Zara of Atal. Now, Adam Rishon Zara is every Zara, we believe, is a certain amount. The reason why there's an Isra of Hashchas Zera is because the Zera has in it a tremendous Kedusha. Every Zera, according to, there are certain days that say that any time a person has relations with his wife, even if the wife doesn't become pregnant, he has created Kedusha. He has created that when the Mashiach comes, those Zeras will be made into children. So every Zera has in it a potential person. Whether you say that day or the other day, it holds it only if they're born, but whatever it is. But there's a Kedusha, Zera's Kedusha. Adam Rishon Zera obviously had more than potential Kedusha. Adam Rishon was Yitzir Kapel Shal Kosh Baruch Hu. He was created directly by Hashem. We don't have such a person anymore. We are all photocopies of photocopies of photocopies with human shutzim parents. But Adam Rishon was created straight by Hashem, so he's a perfect human. So his Zera was on a much, much higher Kedusha Dika level. So when Adam Rishon was Maitzi Zera Vatoa indirectly, that was a very, very powerful Kaddish force that was Maitzi Vatoa. Since it was Maitzi Vatoa, therefore the Kaychis Hatuma in the world, for all those people who know are familiar with Kaychis Hatuma, went ahead and were able to capture the Kedusha that is in the Zera of Adam Rishon. And Tumah is like you have on a tree that it grows on the tree, what's it called, a fungus? What, a parasite? Tumah lives off Kedusha. It's because the more Kedusha, it's like a fungus that's growing on a tree. So the healthier the tree, the more the Tumah can grow. So it seems that the Zera of Adam Rishon ended up mostly for whatever reason in Mitzrayim. Don't know why. They got scattered all over the world, but ended up mostly in Mitzrayim. Therefore, there was more Tumah in Mitzrayim than anywhere else. So according to the Arizal, the reason for the Yitzias Mitzvah, the Goddess Mitzrayim, one of the reasons was that we could recapture V'achre Ken Yesub Rechush Gadol. The Rechush Gadol is to recapture, the Klai Yisrael should capture the Kedusha, take back the Kedusha of the that was captured in Mitzrayim and recapture it back. And the way it's captured it is by exposing it to Kedusha So the Kedusha attracts Kedusha, and therefore the Kedusha is able to free itself from the Tumah and join the back to the Kedusha. So Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim. They went ahead and they cleaned Mitzrayim out. They don't of what's valuable, means not that the money, but they took away all its Kedusha, all its the now there's a mitzvah, Eretz Yisrael is being goddess all over the world, because it's still all over the world there is a scattered tumah. There's an avera not to go back to Mitzrayim, because there's no point to go to Mitzrayim, because we already accomplished the goal in Mitzrayim. So there's no point to be in Mitzrayim. But you got to be in America and everywhere else to do that. Okay, that's basically what the Arizal says, and the Orach Chaim brings it. Therefore, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that it comes out that the parshas that deal with Yetzias Mitzrayim, which starts from Shemos and ends with Mishpatim, which happen to spell the word Shavivim, if you know the Rosh Tevis, Shemos, Vaheira, Beshawach, Abo, Beshawach, Yisrael Mishpatim, which is a pasuk in the Navi, Shuvu Banim Shavivim. So therefore, those are the parshas that the Arizal said are the most mesugo in the whole year for working on this Avera of Zayrat Avatoa or anything in the family. So if you pay attention, you will notice it's in Eretz Yisrael. They'll be even they'll be in the advertising in the paper, I think. We got called the Hedek Emodia. There's usually during Shavim, there are classes on Hilchus Nida for husband and married people. Anything that deals with Tyra, this is considered that this is a time to deal with it. So the minig of, and I heard this from, well, it's, that wasn't my Einfall, you know, I heard this from great people, that we have one of the things that we do in Musar, that we like short periods. We find Elul, Saras Yimei Tshuva, because when you say all year, like every day is Mother's Day, every day you gotta be nice to your mother, then you just don't end up doing it. When you make one day, Mother's Day, okay, I can be nice to my mother for one day, right? One day, okay. So Elul is we maybe shorten Elul for 2 weeks instead of 4 weeks, but whatever it is. But you make it, okay, for 4 weeks, I can handle it. For Asaras Metshuva, I can handle it. So there is a concept, if you hear, that there's only a whole grand total of 6 weeks of Shavuot. We already missed two of them, right? Basically. Right, we already did two, one and a half. And, so there's a relatively smaller amount of time to work on it. So it's an Indian, it's a Ziris, that it's one thing all year, person wants to be Nichshol, of course we're not approving of it, but at least during Shavuot, a person should make an extra effort not to be Nichshol or to improve. And it's a helpful trick. So we always try and speak about some of the concepts during Shavuot. Now, the question is what to speak about. So this gets where it gets very complicated, and I assume we say this, is that there's not one thing to talk about. Most people at this age, everything is an exception. I say most because there's always exceptions, have a very, very strong Yetzer Hara in some form of Kedusha areas. The reason is because it's an extremely strong Yetzer Hara. That's one of the strongest Yetzer Haras in the human. You see it in the Torah that we have a whole parsha with Yosef. You think there would have been a whole parsha of Yosef, he was being tempted by a piece of chazer. I don't think so. Yosef HaTzadik, he resisted a piece of chazer. Don't think so. Anyways, and you have this with David with Bathsheba. These are the greatest tzaddikim in the world, and there's a shaila. Maybe David was nichshol, wasn't nichshol. Something was not right. It seems that this is some super, super strong taiva, and especially it's true at this age. You have in the Medrash. The Medrash says that there was a matronusa that asked one of the Tanoim, "How is it possible that the Torah tells the truth? If Yosef was 17 years old, it's not possible at the age of 17 to not to be nichshol." Which is mashma that if he would have been 25, okay, could be, but 17. So apparently the teenage years, maybe, I don't think it's Dafka 17, but there's certain years that are the hardest years of a person's life. And So it's a very strong Yetzirah, as we find it even in the Gemara. We have a story in the Gemara about Amram Sadik, what's it called, Amram Chasidah, right? And you have a number of Maisim, of different people that had tremendous Yetziraras, even the great people. We have Abaya, right? Rabbi Charvin said a Shmuzan, who said Shmuzan, called God of them, Yitzhak God of them, just recently, who's the guy for telling me about. No? Someone didn't say Shmuz? No? No? Someone was talking to me about a Shmuz. Did he? No? No one? Okay, we have the Gemara with Abai and Rava. There's a lot of, it's pretty clear from the Gemara that even great people have this Yetzirah, and especially at this age. So most, of course not everyone, but most, 90%, 99%, whatever, people have very strong Yetzirahs. But not everyone has the Yetzirah the same way, which makes a lot of sense. It's just like some people like chocolate ice cream, and some people, believe it or not, like strawberry ice cream, which I cannot understand it for the life of me, but there are people that way, right? So the same way, some people are attracted to different things, and they develop the Yetzirah for different things, and a lot depends on how you were brought up, and right, if you lived in Boca, if you lived in the non-from Boca, and you were exposed to socializing, so you might have a very strong desire for socializing. If you lived in the Heidegger Flatbush, and you were not exposed, there's no socializing in the world, but people instead go on the internet and they look at all kinds of things that they're not supposed to be looking, so you develop a taiva for looking at things, right? If you can, a different person can have a taiva, right? Basically, the different taivas that exist, first of all, different people have taivas for different things, different, you know, some people can have for older people, younger people, right? There are taivas for men and taivas for women and boys and girls, and not boys and girls, I mean older people and younger people, right? Different people, different taivas, but you can also have taivas for hirurim, for zaravatawa, for pornography, for histoclis, which is not pornography, just going to Publix and looking, for socializing, and what did I leave out? And books, okay, books, and okay, that's, yes, okay. Books might be in the realm of hirurim, I don't know, because it's, I think that's what I would say, books are hirurim. In other words, it gives you just suggestion for your brain to think about. But anyway, I'm sure there aren't left something out. So which one to talk about? So I probably end up talking about the same one I talked about last year, but I don't remember. I think last year I remember about Hirurim. So I'm not going to talk about that again. Except that what we said last year was, I just want to say that the Yisayit, that the Rishiva's big Yisayit on Hirurim is that you cannot tell yourself not to think about something. Because when you tell yourself not to think about something, you end up thinking about it. So working on Hirurim is completely different than all the other ones. In other words, all the other ones are actions. A person can tell himself not to do an action. Person, we mentioned this, we were talking that the people that were captured by the Viennese and they tortured them and they asked them to do an action, to go on television and confess, and they didn't do it. Person, a human being, you cannot force someone to do something he doesn't want to do. You can torture them, they don't have to do it. But thoughts, you cannot stop a thought from popping into your head. The brain is this open garbage pail, and there's no human ability to stop a thought from popping in. What you can do is a thought pops in, you can distract yourself. So it comes out, according to Shiva's Yisayit, that the way you work on Hirurim and the way you work on everything else are totally different, because in everything else, which is an action, you work on by saying to yourself, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to socialize. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to be a dayim. I'm not going to go on the internet, right? Whatever it is, right? Because it's my control. I don't have to do it. But you can't say, I'm not going to think. I'm not going to think. I'm not going to think, because that's counterproductive. So when it comes to Hirurim, it's a whole different system. And that's what we talked about last year. So we're not going to talk about it. But just, it shouldn't be misled. That Hirurim do not work on, Rishiva almost said that you almost don't even work on Hirurim. Working on Hirurim is almost counterproductive. The only thing you should do for Hirurim is just have in your mind that you don't want to do it, and have in your mind something to daydream about. So if the thought pops into your head, you have the ability to change the channel. But otherwise, the more you work on it, it's almost counterproductive. You have the ability to change the channel. But okay, anyway, but we're going to talk about the Maizim. Okay. Before I start, still into my introduction stage, the trick is to make too many introductions and not to say anything. The question is, why are we talking about this? Meaning as follows. Because of the fact that it is such a strong Yetzirah, many people find when they start working on it that they don't get anywhere. So why work on it if you're not going to get anywhere? Oh, so what's the answer? What?
The effort.
Why the effort?
That's
the way you saw it. Why effort?
It's the barricade,
Marshall. Barricade? What's a barricade?
Battery?
Oh, okay. So three answers. I like that. Three answers. The first answer is obviously that just because you don't get there right away doesn't mean you're not going to get anywhere. You know, it takes a little longer. You have to have patience. Almost, I don't say almost, but many, 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 many people I can be measured on were very successful in this area. It just wasn't right away. Certain other areas you can work on right away, and then overnight you can succeed. It's because it was never a big Yetzara. So there was never really a guy comes from high school to Beis Medrash, and he decides he's going to learn. In high school, he never learned a word. He wasn't decided, I'm going to learn three Siddharim. Overnight, he succeeds, some people, in learning three Siddharim. Why? Because he really could have learned three Siddharim in high school, too. He just wasn't motivated. Now you're motivated. It's not such a hard thing. So this is harder. So it takes more time, but it doesn't mean it can't be done. And right, that was, the battering ram, right, that's right. We gave the Masho that when the Romans wanted to not capture a city, so they would take these soldiers, and they would pick up a battering ram, and they would go charging into the wall, and of course nothing happened. And what'd they do? They just did it again. The reason why you do it again is because really something did happen. And you do it 2, 3, 4, 5 times, you'll succeed. Okay, so the first reason to do it is because you will succeed. And there are many people in the yeshiva that have succeeded. You know, and by succeeding, it has changed their lives because it gave them a tremendous self-confidence and whatever. The second thing is reason to do it, which is just to build up a person, not to get depressed in case you find you're not succeeding, is that even if you don't succeed, you're succeeding. Why is that true?
Every second.
What?
Every second.
Okay, so we got, I really think you're right, I left that out. There are four answers. Huh? First answer, what Mandy's saying is, I forgot to say, and this is Stiper says, that even if you flunk, but what calls mind that you succeed before you flunk, you succeeded. Right? In other words, it's not like, if let's say I have a time to do an Aveira, and I control myself for a half hour, and then I do it. So you flunked at the end, but you won for a half hour. So you get schar for the first half hour. So you did succeed. And the first half hour, you get tremendous schar. It's very likely you get more schar for the half hour than the negative of the flunking. I think you do. So you even when you think at the, you're just looking at the end, and you say, oh, I failed. But you succeeded for the first half hour, right? That was Mandy said. Okay, that's right. It's correct. As the Stiper says that, yes, in one of his letters, that people don't to hear that you get success. It's not all or nothing. So temporary success is also success. The second reason why you succeed, fail, is because if you don't work on it, the nature of taivas is always gets worse. Right? Person starts drinking smoking one cigarette, eventually he moves on to two cigarettes. Right? You start with marijuana, you eventually move on to bigger and better things. That's usually the nature with every taiva, because it makes sense. Taiva, the definition of taiva is a person has a desire for what he doesn't have. If you have it already, you can't have a taiva. If you're working in a bakery and you can have cake any all day long, 24/7, you very quickly lose a taiva for cake. Because I don't say you won't eat it, because you can eat it without a taiva. But a real taiva, you can't have a taiva. It has to be something you don't have, right? That's the Gemara says, Mayim Gunavim Yimtaku, right? You familiar, Gemara? When something is usser, it's more enjoyable because there's more taiva. Taiva is the things that you don't have, right? A taiva, you know, one of the reasons why people claim that movie stars are more into homosexuals is because they don't have, it's too easy for them to mizana. So it's not a taiva, it's no thrill. Chazal say that a husband, a wife is a nida, is otherwise a person would not have taiva for his wife. It's Hashem made a chesed to make a mitzvah of nida. So if a taiva, if you get something becomes easy, there's no taiva. Therefore, what do you have to do? You have to go and aim for something else. So if a person is nichshon a certain aveira, and he basically doesn't bother fighting, and he accepts it, then it becomes easy. I do this. This is what I do. Then you're not satisfying your taiva, because there's no taiva for it, because it's accepted. Memeira, you have to have a taiva for something else. So your taiva, you have to go from 2 cigarettes to 3 cigarettes. You have to go from marijuana to something more exciting. So by working on it, even if you're not if you're staying the same, you're improving. Because a normal person who isn't working, a guy on the street, so to speak, who's not working, is getting worse and worse and worse. You're staying the same, Baruch Hashem. You're holding your ground. You're not drowning. You didn't drown, you know. So that's a big accomplishment. The other reason why it's a big accomplishment is why? Because you're moving yourself from mazed to semi-onus. Right? A guy who's not working on the problem, then if he's nichsho, he is basically, you know, I don't say mazed, but some realm of mazed. You know, it's like karev mazed, semi-mazed, not mamish mazed, because you're only doing it because you're very have a very strong taiva. But it's something, in a, you know, you're not trying. If you're trying, and then you end up being nichsho, so then you're the basically the Musa Svarim say that if two people do the same avera, one person didn't try to resist and the other guy did, then in Shemayim they are how far apart?
Pretty far.
Pretty far. Right? The expression they use is Rachik Mizrach from Ayrib, which means as far as possible. Far as they can be possibly be, that's how far they are. Right? That's pretty far. So anyway, so basically means that by trying, even there are 4 reasons, right? Because many of these reasons for it was right, which I forgot. Why it pays to try. One is Be'ezra Hashem, you will succeed. Many, many people have succeeded. I can tell you many success stories. You know. Okay, many people have succeeded, including people that were here. 2 is you will the success is not necessary. It's just the temporary success is also success. 3 is you stop yourself from getting worse. And 4 is you minimize the chomer of the aver. So you gotta work, a person has to work on the project. Which one to work on depends on, you know, what you're being nichsho in. If you're being nichsho in, you know, Ihurim, you should work on Ihurim. If you're nichsho on something worse than Ihurim, you know, then you should leave Ihurim maybe and work on the other thing, right? Okay, anyway, so I wanted to pick, which one to work on. And it is very possible that we did this last year too, so I apologize. But I wanted to pick on his stock list to work on. Good start. It's pretty generic, because I think, it's stock list. Okay. I think it's pretty broad. Many people have a problem with the stock list. Now, first of all, let's define. I don't have any time. It's all Rabbi Sharpe's fault. What is the definition of histaklis? So, what's the definition of histaklis?
Staring.
Staring. Very important. Because there is no problem when walking down the street and seeing someone. I don't want to say there's no such shita. There are such shitas, and it's even brought in the Mishnah Brura, but where our minhag in Klal Yisrael, what's accepted, is that even if someone is not dressed properly, and you walk down, you see the person, and you are not in stakko, there is no problem. Meaning, but what is the difference in stakko and not is, when I walk down the street, and there's someone walking by me, and I don't bump into them, right? You know, you don't, when you're in a crowded base medrash, you don't step on other people's toes, right? I always give this example. There was one guy, whenever I saw him coming in Queens, I used to run the other way because he always stepped on my toes. Because the guy was a little bit of a klutz. He didn't look where he's going. But any normal person, right, this guy was a little unusual, does not step on other people's toes. It's a crowded room. Instinctively, you look where you step and you don't step on other people's toes. But if I would ask the guy, what color shoes was that guy wearing? You know what he's talking. What are you talking about? I didn't see his shoes. Well, you obviously did. You didn't step on his toes. It's a crowded room. How did you not step on his toes? You must have been looking at his feet, right? So Riyah means that you see it, but it's so unimportant that it's in one ear and out the other, right? Even notwithstanding what we said to Musa today, but it doesn't leave. Right? You're driving a car. And there's a car in front of you that stops, and you step on the brake, and you don't bang into him. But then a second later, I ask you, why'd you stop? He says, I stopped. Right? It's so reflex that you don't even pay attention. And you're walking down the street, and there's a hole. You walk over it, but you don't pay attention. Histakis means you pay attention. Right? The worst histakis would be, when I remember when Obama first became president, they had a video of him that he was walking down the street and a woman was walking the other way and you saw him going like this. And he was a laughing stock of the country for that, which is a problem. A person who's into his stockless, it's a problem. You say that's an added motivation not to be into his stockless, because when you're going to get married, if you're into his stockless, you cannot hide that you're doing his stockless. And your wife will notice, and she will not appreciate it. And she will think, what kind of yeshiva guy I married? And, you know, so you might as well fix it now. Okay, anyway. So it's darkness. The idea is that you're not supposed to be looking. Okay. So how do you avoid looking? Now, looking doesn't mean, it could be, again, it could be at the internet, right? This is not darkness, right? Internet has pictures. You're watching a TV show. You're being a stakko in certain things. Sometimes it's not it's also the thoughts, because it gives you, like I say, like I don't know if I would say reading a book is a stakless because you don't see anything. But to me, a book is probably motivating for hearer. Looking at a TV show is also hearer. So you got both there. But there's also a histakness part that a person enjoys. There's a certain daiva to see a picture of something that's not sanua. It's enjoyable, right? There's a certain enjoyment, and a person has a daiva for histakness on internet. A person has a daiva of histakness on a newspaper where there's pictures or whatever, right? Not necessarily the pictures have to be so bad. Yeah, I remember them saying that sometimes pictures that are suggestive are much worse than pictures that are explicit. There was some study, I do not know, I remember this from when I was in Beis Medrash, I don't exactly know the details, but they had some study that the New York Times magazine was considered by some rating more preacher's book than Playboy magazine, because their pictures were more suggestive. There's Playboy magazine, they were just blatant preachers. But the New York, because you couldn't do that in New York Times, because it would be below their dignity, so they had to have advertisements that were suggestive. And they said that was more ma'ayir, more hirurim, more taiva, more everything. So it's not just necessarily, sometimes what you're looking at. Anyway, so looking at pictures, you walk by a movie theater and you see the pictures outside, you walk by a subway station and you see the advertisement for the movie. You can walk by, obviously in the internet and television, and you go to the Publix, going to the mall, right? Going to the mall, I don't know why, but going to the mall is considered a kosher entertainment You know, the high school have nothing to do. They go to the mall. Going to the mall is probably, I don't say yavur, but it's probably not, you know, it's not a good thing. Because basically, the mall, first of all, you have lots of people that are not dressed neistically. And you have all the stores that are advertising clothing, which are not exactly this neistic clothing. And they display it very prominently, which is histakles, which is ma'orer. Now, I'm not saying, I take it back. I do not mean to say, so if you need something, you know, guys do sometimes have to go to the mall. You have to go. You got to buy a suit. Assuming you kids know the way to do it. Okay, so I'm not saying it's also go to the mall. You have to ask a shayla, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. But for going for fun to the mall is really not a good thing to do. Okay, anyway, so let's go quickly. We don't have much time. Okay, so what are we supposed to do? So I have here, Berk, first thing is you have to know yourself. You have to know where your problems are, right? If you don't know where your problems are, you can't avoid it. If every time I go on the internet, I end up seeing sites that I shouldn't be seeing, then don't go on the internet, right? If every time I read a Newsweek, I end up turning to some of the back sections and looking at some things that aren't proper, reading articles that aren't proper, then you shouldn't be reading Newsweek, right? You have to basically, the first thing is an awareness of where you have your problems. You know, do I have a problem when I go to the mall? You know, like, if you don't know when you're being nichshol, then you won't know when to, what to avoid. So you gotta at least be aware of what is my yetzaras? Where do I, what, and again, not everyone's the same. You know, do I have a problem when I go to Publix or don't I have a problem? Do I look at the magazines or don't I look at the, you know, whatever. You have to know yourself. Okay. There is a thing called Ika Dar Gachrina, which means that obviously you're mechuyev when you can go a different way without having the nisayin. You're obligated to do that. So in this example, if let's say you want to buy a suit and you could go either to the mall or you can go not to a mall, you shouldn't go to the mall. Right? Now, if you can only go to the mall to buy a suit, okay, that's a different shayla. But if you have a choice, then don't go to the mall. Okay. Anyway, so the first thing is you have to know what your problems are. Okay. The second thing you have to do is, if you're in a place, is in other words, obviously, one of the biggest histakas problems is the internet. So, I don't want to, this is, except, you know, the internet and television and movies, etc. That's, you know, one of the biggest problems. Because there they have the things that you can see on the internet and on TV and movies. You know, I mean, I don't say you can still, today you can see some pretty crazy things at Publix. You know, I'm sure you will see things in Publix today that you wouldn't have seen on the beaches 25 years ago. You know, people dress. Sometimes I'm in shock. Like, it's just like what is the person thinking? You know, like, where, you know, you're, you know, like, what are you doing? You know, but okay, but the ma'isa, the still, with all that said and done, right, on the, you know, on the TV, on the internet, on the movies, they can be 100 times worse than anything. It's not even real. They can exaggerate things and they play it to the maximum. So the first thing, the most important thing, is a person has to make, that's probably the most important Kabbalah, is to avoid, you know, I don't say avoid all internet, because maybe there's some you can do internet kosher-wise, but avoid all these things, that sites or programs that aren't kosher. That's probably the, you know, the most important. Because you have to dare that these programs are gufa made. The whole lumdus of it, they're made to entice you, right? They make money by having people look at it. That's their goal. Whoever remade this television show or movie, whoever made this site on the internet, the reason why they made it is they want people to look at it. The way they get people to look at it is by making it enticing. If they wouldn't make it enticing, no one would look at it. So we're using all the chachma known to the corrupt human mind, right? They're like, of how to make people enticed to look at to make them addicted to look at our site and to want to look at it more, to want to watch our movie, right? Right? That's why, you know, they want to, you know, they have to stick in something. Someone always said, if you have a TV show, they can't be aimed at a very high intellectual level because then very few people would want to watch it. Because regretfully, there are not that many intellectual people in the country who can make an intellectual TV show. There is no such thing. I don't know. What audience? You're limiting yourself to 5 people in the whole country, right? But if you make a show that's preaches, you know, and they have in the name, the series, this is a series, and they got a good catchy name that sounds like for preaches, then you're attracting basically anyone. So everything on the internet, all the media, is, you know, that they're trying to present maximum preaches. And it's so much, it's even beyond reality very often. You know, the pictures are touched up to be worse than, they're not even true. But it's everything, so that you got to avoid. You got to avoid internet access that's not kosher, whether it means getting filters or not having access or not having not having an internet ability in your room. I don't know, a guy, not having alone in your house with it. You have to sometimes tell your parents, get rid of, you have to be a man enough to tell your parents. Usually your father will understand. And your mother won't understand, but what can you do? What can you do? You have to tell your father that, listen, it's not healthy for me, and I really don't want this around, and please put a code on the computer so that when I'm home by myself and no one's not home, I'm not going to be tempted to go on things that I shouldn't be going on because there's a code and I can't get in. Or the same thing with your phones, obviously, that there has to be, protected, or not to have the phones. I'm not really so familiar with phones, I'm sorry. Can't tell you what you're supposed to do with a phone. But you guys know what you're supposed to do with a phone, right? And all these mobiles, etc. Okay, anyway, but let's skip that. Now let's get to the much more simple. I'm going to Publix. And I don't want to look at the people there. I'm going, Yeshiva has a Bein Hazmanim, right? We have a midwinter vacation. And I'm going to Disneyland. Now, there are people there, not dressed neistically. So there's a few tricks. First trick is what?
Take your glasses off.
Right, okay. First trick is, yeah, that's true. You take your glasses off. That's right. You don't do something which is crazy. Because doing something which is crazy is not healthy, because it knocks into your head that I'm surrounded by preachers. But people like me, who I can basically see perfectly without my glasses, except far. And well, you don't really have to see far for anything. I'm walking to yeshiva, I don't have to see far. So there's no reason not to take your glasses off. Also, there's a certain way of looking with your head slightly downward. You don't have to, there are people that naturally, when they're walking, you see them, they're looking at everything under the sun and into everybody's window. Huh? They walk down the street and they're peeking into everyone's window. That's not exactly a midah taiva. You don't have to know what's going on in everybody's private house and try and sneak in and notice all the interesting things. You can walk on the street and you can, if you want to take your glasses off, you can walk with your head slightly tilted downward, so you basically see, you're not going to fall. You don't have to see 3 blocks further. So you also should have, if you have a chavrusa, right? If you're going with a friend, it's distracting. If you have something in learning, what you're thinking about, it's a good thing. Okay. Anyway, I wanted to say, I said this to a bunch of guys, and I say this every year, and it's one of my favorite things. There's this Gemara in Avos Ramdas. I just said it to one of the Musa groups this week, but since some people missed it, so I have to say it again. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the 16th paragraph of Avos Rav Nosson that says Rabbi Akiva was captured. And they went ahead and he was apparently such an impressive looking person. So the person that captured him wanted to have children from Rabbi Akiva. So he put two zonas in the cell to get Rabbi Akiva. And basically Rabbi Akiva is basically spitting in their face the whole night and was just showing them that they were like, get away from me, you disgusting slimy, disgusting people. So to the point that they were so insulted, they went to the king and said, you know, we're insulted that, you know, he was just, it's not like he was controlling himself, oh, I'm tempted, you know, I'm not going to be nichshel. He was just, yuck, you know. So it's just, it hurt their self-esteem. I don't know where Makiva's Musar was, but I guess it's Musar to do that. So the king called Rabbi Akiva, and he says, why in the world? They're beautiful women. Aren't you human? And he basically said, the line here is, he said, what can I do? Ma esa. Rechem boilai mi buser nevedis trefis ishkotzim. They smelled they stunk. I didn't mean they stunk physically, but because I know what these women are. They stink. I should be attracted to a zayna. Attracted to a woman who's mezaneh, a woman who eats shrutzim, you know, yuch, So that was said that there's a certain way it does detract a certain amount from the taiva if you dare. That if you do happen to see someone who's not dressed sneistically, especially if it's an extreme not sneistically, the probability is she's a walking zayna. She probably has AIDS. She has whatever other, you know, keep away, you know. She's a prutza. You don't want anything to do with her. She's a monster, you know. She's a slimy Martian, you know. That's right. Chocolate covered soap. Okay. Anyway, I got the last thing I'm going to mention is that there's a mention the other way we had by tzitzis, that it says a re'isim also, that there's an eitzah to avoid istaklis is by looking at kedusha things. So you're supposed to look at your tzitzis, you're supposed to look at the Sefer Torah, you're supposed to look at svarim, supposed to look at anything that's a kaddishika thing has the opposite effect. Because just like looking at tamedika thing is somehow metame the person, so looking at kaddish things undoes it. So that is also a positive thing. Okay.